Last week, we looked at living in freedom. And I don't know about you, but it'd be great to stop there, wouldn't it? But the problem arises when we get so focused on our freedom. Problem arises when our freedom maybe butts up against the freedom of somebody else. You know, you want the youth ministry, the youth class, to be able to worship God in freedom and to serve Him in freedom and to find out for themselves in their own ways how to follow Him and how to serve Him. But then maybe it can kind of be a little bit uncomfortable when that starts bleeding into the church. And then all of a sudden you have other people saying those kids need to learn their place. And then all of a sudden they're saying, well, we're not allowed to worship God the way we want to worship Him anymore. And then all of a sudden you got kids leaving church. Does that sound like anything anybody's seen over the last 40 years or so happening in church? We want to serve Him in freedom, and that can mean freedom to use that translation of the Bible that you feel most comfortable with, the one that you can read and understand what it means. And some people, you know, they think, well, everybody should read the same translation I read. I don't care if you can't understand it. Good enough for Paul, good enough for me, good enough for you, right? So what happens when our freedom to walk with God and to serve Him gets in the way of the other person's freedom? I believe that's where submission comes in. And we see this in Romans. We see it in 1 Corinthians. When Paul gets to talking about our freedom to live for Christ as we want to, and in Romans chapter 14, when he goes on about not judging one another, and he encourages us to live for God however we're going to do it. On the flip side of that, on the flip side of the one who eats, eats for the Lord, the one who doesn't eat for the Lord. On the flip side, there is not just to not judge one another, but also do not put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. In fact, he goes on and says in verse 15 that if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. And so Paul points out, in the midst of celebrating the freedom we have in God, that we cannot take our freedom to the extent that it hurts a fellow brother or sister. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he takes it so far as to say, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Now, these are passages that have been brought out and used to get people to behave certain ways. Which brings us to a very important point. There is a difference between submission and subjection. There is a difference between somebody submitting themselves to somebody and somebody being subjected to somebody or under somebody. In Ephesians chapter 5, talking about how we are to live with one another, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Verse 21 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Subject means somebody else has basically rule over you. What Paul is really getting at there is not subject, but submit. We are encouraged to submit ourselves to one another. To allow yourself to be, in a sense, ruled by those around you. When you're a subject, I mean, and I think Americans, we really struggle with this, right? Because our roots go back to throwing off the shackles of being subjects. At one point, the people in the colonies were subjects of the royal crown of England. We were under British rule. The revolution was all about revolting against that. And so we've thrown off the idea of being subjects to anybody. And in many ways, because of that, we've thrown off the idea of submitting to anybody. The big difference between us and, say, people like in England or in other countries where they do have a monarchy, although in England the monarchy is really just for show. A British person is a subject of the crown whether they like it or not. My little sister was born in England when we were stationed over there, and so she is currently a subject of the crown. But she's got this wonderful benefit of being an American citizen. And so for her in her life, it doesn't matter that she is considered technically a subject of the queen. The only way she can ever be a subject of the queen is if she submits herself to it. Anybody else in England, they are born a subject. All they can do is leave if they don't want to be a subject anymore. My sister, though, because she's an American citizen, she has this crazy thing called dual citizenship. It doesn't do her any benefit right now because she doesn't choose to use it. She's an American. She's got an American passport. She pays American income taxes. She lives in America. But if she wanted to, if she were to go to England, she could show her birth certificate and claim all the rights of a British citizen. And they would all be given to her instantly. But it would all come with a catch. She would now be, in practice, and not just a name, a subject of the Queen. She would have to submit herself to it. Being a subject is something that kind of happens to you. That's why in verse 21 of Ephesians he says, and be subject. It's a passive thing. It's what somebody does to you, in a sense. But the reason why what he's really saying is to submit yourself is because if you're going to take the actions to allow yourself to be subjected to somebody else, you have to submit yourself to them. To be submitted means to put yourself under another person. It means to take all the rights and all the responsibilities that you have and to allow yourself and to voluntarily place yourself under the care of another. That's what it means to submit. Nobody can force another person to submit. You can subject them, but you cannot force them to submit. Submit is an act of the will of the person who is placing themselves under the other one. People have been subjected by force all over the place. And in fact, in many ways in the church, we try to subject other people. When we hold them to the views that we have, we subject them. When we say, if you're going to be around here, you're going to do it my way, we subject them. Paul is not saying here to subject anyone. Rather, he is saying to us that our attitude towards one another should be such that we would submit ourselves to one another to the point where we were subjects of one another. Does that not sit uneasily in your stomach? Does that idea not disturb you in some way? If you're not feeling some rebellion against this idea right now, you might be asleep and somebody near you needs to give you the elbow. Or you're probably just not paying attention. Because everything about who we are is to not be subject to anyone. To not let anybody have any claim on our life. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care if it's the right way or the wrong way, as long as I did it my way. To thine own self be true. But what Jesus calls us to is something greater than just self-sufficiency. It is, you've got every ability to do what you want to do. I ask you to lay it aside. We have the freedom of Jesus Christ. We have the freedom to do as we please in Him, to serve Him, to fellowship with Him, to love Him. And because of that love for Jesus, as we rub up against fellow believers, he calls us to go one step further and to submit ourselves to one another. We do this in how we interact with one another. I mean, there is no way we can all have it our way all the time. You know, the happy relationships where nobody argues is because one person always makes all the decisions and the other one always goes along with it. If you happen to have two people in a relationship who both have strong opinions about something, sooner or later one of them is going to have to submit. I think this is the right course of action. I think that is the right course of action. And so we continue to fight or to argue or maybe discuss until eventually one or the other says, "All right, we'll do it your way. All right, we'll go that direction." What Jesus is wanting is for us to avoid the fights and the arguments. That's not something we can force upon one another. That's something that we as individuals have to choose to do. And so that's why he says to us, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. He tells us in Philippians, just a couple of pages over in chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, if you've got any of that, which I hope you do, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." That doesn't mean we have groupthink. It means that we all focus on one key thing, to be like Christ. And so he tells us, Paul encourages the Philippians to not do anything from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not to merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And that gets to the heart of what he's calling us to do in submission. That we would consider one another as more important than ourselves. So when he says, make yourselves subject to one another, be submitted to one another, to take yourself and submit yourself. Yeah, and of course, in Ephesians, the very next verse is the one everybody focuses on. Rarely do you hear anybody preaching on 5:21. It's always 5:22, wives to your husbands. And if your Bible has wives be subject to your husbands, chances are that word subject is in italics, which is one of those ways that they have of showing us that word really isn't there. They just do that for the translation. If you were to look at that passage literally, it's be subject to one another, wives to your husbands, as unto the Lord. And most of the focus in the church has been about, okay, wives need to submit to their husbands. But really, that's kind of trying to subject them. There's been a lot of talk about the roles of women and men, and men have to do this, and women have to do that. And it's not about women are less or anything. If anything, in many ways, it's because women are more. Men will be very happy to sit back, not make any decisions, and play video games all day long. The older men that don't play video games, that's just because they were deprived in their childhood. Video games had not been invented yet. Men are very content to live as slobs mostly. And it is very easy, is it not, for women to take charge and to push and to drive. And to a certain extent, I think men do need that. So it's not about women don't have the capacity to be in charge or anything like that. Instead, what it has to do with is a woman taking all of her abilities and all of her gifting and everything that she knows and her ability at times to even to lord it over her husband. And not doing it. And instead submitting herself to him. Instead of battling and fighting for headship, to submit. But that's where we always stop. And it goes beyond just what a woman's supposed to do. And together, outside of a marriage relationship, as we live together as the body of Jesus Christ, we are called to submit to one another. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I force myself over you. Or you force yourself over me. What it means is we say, I'm completely capable of making these decisions and doing these things. I'm completely free to do this. And I'm not going to. And I'm going to submit myself to this other person. And that can be tough. Have you ever actually gone out and tried to submit yourself to somebody? Maybe it's they think that you really need to do something, and you really don't think you need to. But you say, okay, I'll submit myself to your leadership, your guidance, your wisdom. Sometimes the submitting in itself is the victory. I've got a friend who a couple of years ago joined the Orthodox Church. A big part of it for him was just submitting himself to the authority of the church. Because being a good Baptist boy raised in the Baptist church, he spent every Sunday morning questioning the pastor. Is he preaching the right thing? Is he preaching it the right way? Is he taking that verse out of context? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? And for him, and I'm not saying that's wrong, you should question, I think, whether or not I am preaching correctly out of the Bible. Just because you think I'm wrong doesn't mean I am, though. But I think it's right for us to say, is this right? But for him, it was a big thing. It was important in his life that he just learn how to submit himself to something else, to someone else outside of him. And so he has submitted himself to a church, to the leadership of that church, to his local priest, to the bishop. And he'll tell you today, I don't know it all. I don't understand it all. There are still some things I don't 100% agree with. But that's the beauty of submitting himself. He doesn't have to agree. He obeys. And for him, that was a major thing for his faith. And for us, in some ways, it's a major thing for our faith. Are we willing to trust God through the people that he has placed around us and sometimes even over us? Are we willing to submit to their headship, to their leadership, and trust God? Jesus submitted himself so much that he was obedient even to death on the cross. It was not what he wanted to do. He had every ability to get out of it. The two thieves next to him, they were subjects of the cross. They deserved to be there, and they were forced there, and they couldn't do anything against it. Jesus submitted himself to the cross. And when he calls us to him, he calls us to come and die. And we do that by taking all of our freedoms, all of our desires, all that we hold on to, and handing them over. And he calls us to submit to one another. And what that means is, yeah, I've got the freedom to go and eat at an idol temple, or I've got the freedom to have an alcoholic beverage with dinner, or, you know, quite honestly, I mean, in Christ, we have the freedom to live as he calls us and leads us. You got the freedom, if Christ isn't compelling you any differently, you've got the freedom to smoke. You've got the freedom to do harm to yourself in different ways, not exercising, eating fat. I mean, there's lots of things. You know, we start pointing fingers, we get in dangerous territory, right? We've got the freedom in Christ to live. He is not sitting up there in heaven nitpicking everything you do. That's what we do to one another. Now, if he calls you to quit something, if he calls you to give it up, watch out. That's from God. That's not from me. We've got the freedom to worship as we please. We have the freedom to dress as we please in Christ. We have the freedom to speak as we please in Christ. Now, if he convicts you about how you speak, if he convicts you how you dress, if he convicts you about your worship, that's something different. I would encourage you to follow him in those areas. But as our freedom comes together and we bottle it up in a room together, all of a sudden how we dress, how we speak, maybe it hurts other people. There are words that in my vocabulary are not cuss words. There are words that I just grew up, everybody used them. Imagine the shock for some people when I used it while I was preaching. And to them, that's just a word you don't use. And I'm not going to use it now. But trying to not use those words. You know, I can always take the, well, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with that word. There's a lot worse words out there. It's not a cuss word. Vacuum cleaners do it all the time. The drain does it. Instead of arguing for myself or defending myself, which we all are easily do it, right? We all are want to do that. Instead, to submit ourselves is to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with this word, but it causes that other person offense. I need to watch out for that word. There's nothing wrong with this, but I know it causes so-and-so offense, and so I'm going to refrain from it. And what happens is we submit ourselves to one another. We grow in maturity. We grow in righteousness. Because chances are those things were things that did hinder us, if we're really honest about it. We had freedom to do it. But just because I have freedom to do all things doesn't mean all things are profitable for me, Paul says. And so we're encouraged and instructed to submit ourselves to one another. And so for me, the way that really kind of looks is, you know, younger people who desire praise music, and newer things, they have every right to want to sing them. Older people are people that were raised with hymns only. Some of us young guys were also raised just with hymns. We have every right to just desire to sing hymns only. But if we're ever going to get along in one church together, everybody's going to have to submit themselves to one another. And that doesn't just mean I keep my mouth shut and I sit there and I wait until those songs are done. To submit yourself means actually participate in it. To learn from the other person, to grow in them. To not take your own freedom, but to worry about the desires of the other person. That's why the worship wars, and I know I keep on going back to it, but that's why it's such a blight on the church. Because it had nothing to do with submission. It had to do with one generation looking to another generation and saying, you need to do this for us. You're wrong if you don't do this. And guess what? It was both generations saying it to each other. Older generation was saying, you need to sit down and be quiet and accept this music because this is what we all grew up with. And the younger generation was saying, you need to get out of the way and remove your music because this is the music of the future and this is how we're going to reach new people. And it would have been so nice if they had both said, I love this music, but let's play yours. This is how I can worship, but let's worship with your music. Can you imagine what that whole conflict would have been like if both sides said, no, you go first? Granted, we might all still be stuck at the door, but we'd be getting along so much nicer. There would be so much more of Jesus Christ within us. So we are encouraged to submit one to another. Also, though, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 17, Paul says, the writer of Hebrews says, a lot of people think Paul wrote it. We're not 100% sure who did write it. The author of Hebrews in verse 17 of chapter 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Now, I'm not just preaching on this because I happen to be a leader in a church. This isn't time for me to use the bully pulpit or anything like that, all right? This is in Scripture, and it doesn't matter if you're here or somewhere else. It doesn't matter who's in authority. The writer is saying, obey your leaders, those who are placed over you, and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So his focus isn't just because of the position or because they're over us in some way. Notice that the reason why we are to submit to those who are over us in the church, we're supposed to submit to our leaders in government as well, is because they keep watch over our souls as those who will give an account. And that's specifically looking at the church. That a pastor in any church, or the pastoral staff, or the elders, or hopefully the deacons in some churches, they're doing and choosing what they do, and they're doing things with the end result hopefully being your spiritual welfare. So the things that a pastor focuses on, Lord willing, they're focusing on those things because of prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that this is what needs to be the focus of the church. There are some churches where pastors, it seems, preach all about marriage. Apparently they really feel called by God that their purpose is to preach on marriage and to help strengthen marriages and encourage marriages and families. If I ever do something that you think wasn't right as it pertains to worship, I'm not saying it was right. It could have been wrong. But chances are the reason why I did it most of the time, I hope all the time, is because it was a desire to build spiritually through our ways that we worship. If I'm wrong, if another pastor's wrong, and you submit to them, and you allow yourself to be shaped by them, that is not a bad thing. If they happen to have been wrong, they are going to give an account. The account you will give is, did I follow the leadership that was there? Or was I rebellious in my heart? If you're going to be rebellious, the great thing is we live in America and we live in the city and there are tons of churches within a stone's throw of each other and you can go and have your pick of them. I'm not encouraging everybody to go and leave, but I'm just saying it's a terrible thing to stay in a place where you're rebellious. I was in a place where I got to being rebellious and I had to get out of there. I got to the place I could no longer submit myself to the leadership of that church. I had close friends that had no problem with the leadership. I'm not saying it was 100% my fault. But to stay there and to not be able to submit myself would have been the wrong thing. If we're able to, as we're able to, we are encouraged to submit ourselves. Now, I mean, if you think something's morally gross, obviously don't submit to that. Hopefully a light bulb goes off in some people's minds when the pastor or whoever the leader of the compound starts suggesting that everybody who is female is his wife. Hopefully somebody's light bulb starts going off and they say, let's get out of this place. Don't submit to that. Abuse, don't submit to that. But as far as what are we going to do? How are we worshiping God? What is the major focus? We are encouraged to submit ourselves to our leaders. We do that even in our Bible studies. If a leader is taking the class a certain way in the discussion, what do? We submit to them. We follow along. As we think about it, though, remember, we're supposed to mutually submit ourselves to one another, right? That goes for the leaders. Pastors don't just sit there without anybody to submit to and say, I'm going to do as I please. Oh, it would be so easy to abuse the office to say, this is what I want, so we're going to do it. A lot of times I'll get into trouble because I'll say something kind of offhand to a friend or to my wife and oh, I wish we did this. And oftentimes a friend or Amy might say, well, okay, why don't you just do it? Well, because I just can't do it. I mean, that would hurt so many other people if I just did that. There are many ways even today where some things that I do, I really don't do it for me. I do it for the church. I do it for individuals in the church because I realize this would not be the best thing to do. And so we submit ourselves to one another. One of the previous pastors at my parents' church shared about how at one time they were going to demolish, or no, they weren't going to demolish it. They had an old chapel, kind of like how we had the old building, and we turned it into a fellowship hall. They had an old building. It was separate from the new church building, and it was just kind of sitting there. And so in a meeting, the suggestion came up one day, let's turn it into a youth building. Everybody thought it was the greatest idea ever. Yeah, let's turn it into a youth building. It'll be used. It'll glorify God. We'll be able to reach some kids. But one lady, not to disparage anybody, but she was elderly, and she had been in that church since it was begun. You're going to take that building, who so-and-so was the pastor of for so many years, and you're going to desecrate it by turning it into a youth building? I mean, it was still, you know, the pews were all original. It was old. It was musty. It wasn't being used. She could not bear the thought that they would remove the pews or that they would allow the teenagers and the high school kids to do what they pleased in that building. It just broke her heart. When the matter came to a vote, they voted against making it a youth building. I'm not saying that lady was right. In fact, I'd be on the side of saying she was dead wrong. I will tell you this, though. That church was right. That church submitted themselves to her for a couple of years. She passed away. A little while after her funeral, the question came up. How about we turn the old building into a youth building? Now it was unanimous. Everybody agreed. It's just a few years later. We could argue that they should have pushed it through. Maybe it would have been right to. Sometimes people just get in the way, and as much as it breaks your heart, you just got to push through. I think they honored God. They submitted to her. They submitted to her whims, even though maybe it hurt them. I think God blessed them because they submitted. The wrong way of taking that is to say, well, all I got to do is be one person and I can get my way. Now, you can't force people to submit to you. And you know, they could have just as easily asked her to submit to them. That was one instance where that one church decided to do that one thing. So it's not just the members submitting to the leadership. Lots of times the leadership submits to the members and says, okay, we'll hold off. We'll wait until we're ready. Things don't happen quite as fast, and we don't always get our own way. But God is glorified and honored. So I encourage you as we try to live out our freedom in Christ, don't let your freedom, don't let it hurt somebody else. I can't make you not do it. Just a side note, if you come to me for counseling and all your counseling has to deal with is what somebody else is doing, you're not going to like that conference. Let me just get it out there for you. If you come to me for counseling and all you want to do is talk about what somebody else needs to do, 100% guarantee, Cecil stamp of approval, you are not going to like the conversation because all I'm going to do is turn it back to you because that's all we can really deal with is ourselves. So I can't make you do it and I can't make anybody else do it. But God would ask you, and I pray that your heart would be tender to Him, that you would join with me in taking all the freedom and all the things we get to do and where we need to, submitting it to our brothers and our sisters. And if they will submit back, we'd be like two planks that hold each other up, supporting one another, not fighting each other, but supporting and encouraging one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we struggle with our lives. Can we just say that? We struggle. We have been forgiven and we have freedom in Christ. And then it seems like the very first thing that happens is people start telling us what we need to do with it. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Lord, we pray that as mature believers, we would not try to subject one another to tell another person, this is what you need to be doing. There is a time and a place for it, we realize, Lord, but all too often we overreach. We pray instead of trying to force one another into actions and behaviors that we would submit to one another. Lord, that we would realize what you've given us and to live it out in the ways that we can, but as it gets in the way of another believer, as it causes harm, Lord, that we would submit to them. That we would not look to our own well-being, but to the well-being of those around us. Father, we pray and we ask for your wisdom in doing this. It is so easy to go all the way too far or never even to begin. So easy to go to the extremes. It's so hard to walk that line where we live in freedom and yet submit to our brothers and sisters. And it's so easy to be taken advantage of if they are not following you. And so it's scary, Father, for us to submit. We pray and we ask for your wisdom and guidance. For your Holy Spirit to be in this place in such a way that we would submit to one another, that we would put our desires below those of others around us, and that we would look to their good before our own good. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.